Well, Roosters fans, not a great weekend last week at Allianz Stadium. Fortress Allianz, as we like to call it, home of the Nick Politis Centre of Excellence. Silky, a loss to the Cowboys that we didn't expect, but nonetheless, we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and get ready for Origin Week. One of the things I'm most excited about, two things. One is our captain, James Tedesco, rushed into the Origin side where he probably should have been in the first place. And, of course, our special Origin guest expert. We are going to spend an hour of power as Roosters fans with none other than former Roosters legend and an absolute all-round good bloke, Mitchell Pearce.
Bush, cannot wait for our chat with Mitchell Pearce a little bit later on the show. But yeah, just referring back to, well, last Sunday, we were both hosting up there at the Captain's Club. I think it was 14-4 at halftime. And look, we were very confident that we were going to put a score in the second half. And look, to be fair, I mean, the biggest talking point, if I'm being frank, is the call to go for the 2 points when we had one of their players put in the sin bin. It actually turned the game. They came back down. There was the Braden Burns went down with a suspected ankle injury, which I thought was great acting by Braden. He should be getting an Oscar for that. They scored off that next set of six, and the rot set in, mate. Well, we didn't really challenge in the second half, if I'm being honest, and it was a pretty poor performance in the second half. And the Cowboys got the cash, 18-16.
Yeah, I think Coach Robertson said it best, is they just wanted it more. In a week where both teams had around 5 to 7 players off each due to Origin duty, you know, we just went out there and we just couldn't get out of second gear. There's a few decisions that the boys would love to have again. As we always say on Roosters Radio, we're not the expert footballers, but watching it from the sidelines, it was a bit of a frustrating sort of a dour affair. We couldn't quite, you know, grasp the game. We were always giving them opportunities to come back into it. And I think that's something they'll be reflecting on this week and fixing up.
Well, Bush, to be fair, like I commented to you in the first half, the Cowboys came to play.
They did.
They completed really highly. They were kicking to the corners. They were getting to their kicks. And they made us do the tough yards coming out of our own end. Look, as I said, at halftime, we scored that really opportunistic try. Great vision from Sammy Walker. Mm. Go the short side after Dom Young made that break down the right-hand side of the field. And as I said, it looked like it was just going to go onwards and upwards from there. But yeah, they just didn't, to your point, they didn't get out of second gear. Some kind of bad, costly errors. They didn't really look like they were. It just was a bad performance in the second half, probably the best way to put it. And look, a costly loss. Winning that match would have put us in the top four going into the bye round. The boys got the bye this weekend. If there is one positive takeaway, I saw Brandon Smith in an interview on his podcast earlier this week where you could see how much he was hurting and how disappointed he was in that loss. Even Luke Keary in the post-match press conference, the hurt was visible, and hopefully the boys can take something out of that. They get to reflect on it having the week off. They get to watch Teddy play Wednesday night, and it's man up. In a fortnight when we take on the Eels.
Yeah, and Silky, of course, the major positive, and we always look for the positive here on Roosters Radio, is Blake Steep making his debut. I know you had a wonderful experience walking in. For any one of us Roosters, including ourselves, that wanted to be there, wanted to play there, he got that opportunity on Sunday, and to see what it meant to him and his family, it was an amazing occasion. So if you're going to take a positive out, what a great thing to see a young Rooster of the future. They've earmarked him for 300 games and future captaincy. So I know it's only slow goings early on, but what a great experience it was.
Well, Bush, let me just share it with the fans. For those that were out there, the 13,000 were out there in the eastern corner up towards Oxford Street there. There was 120 of them. Blake Steep family and friends came down from Port Macquarie, all in their Blake Steep T-shirts. I had the opportunity to talk to his very proud mum out the front, and you know, she said this is a dream come true. Blake is a product of the academy. Myself and yourself, Bush, we went to the Roosters event on Friday night where an amazing amount of money was raised for the academy over the next 3 years. But Blake is a product of that, as was Siwa Wong, as were a number of young players coming through our program at the moment. So the future is looking bright for Sandon Smith, another one. The future is looking bright for the young Roosters, particularly coming through the academy. And I'm going to ask Mitchell Pearce about that on our conversation a little bit later on, because Mitchell, to bolster the ranks of the academy coaching staff, we've got Orbo's running it. We've got Friendy who's coaching it. We've got Minnie giving advice from the nutrition side and how to look after yourself. Mitchell Pearce is coming on, as well as Cooper Cronk, so to help coach the halfbacks. And I think Mitchell, in having conversations with him over the last couple of weeks, is looking at trying to mentor these young players you know, about the right things to do and the wrong things to do for footballers and the traps that you can find yourself in. So, you know, really looking forward to talking to Mitchell about that and his role in the academy moving on into the future.
Yeah, no secret on Roosters Radio. We've got a wonderful relationship and obviously one of our all-time favourite Roosters, and it's so good to have him back in the Roosters fold. So really looking forward to that, Silky.
Well, you're on Roosters Radio, and when we come back, the man himself, Mitchell Pearce. Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And, well, fans, we've got a real special guest for you right now. And it's been a long time coming, this. He was one of our original guests on our first ever series. And we go back 11 years. Can you believe that? 11 years ago.
That was on the phone, that one, wasn't it?
It was on the phone. And we've come a long way.
I just cut you off.
He signed with our club as a schoolboy when he was 16 years old. He made his debut way back in 2007, aged 17, round two against the Cowboys. He played 238 games for our club, played in two premierships, and was part of the victorious 2013 premiership winning team. Made 9 appearances for the Blues. He was the youngest player in NRL history to rack up 200 games, and he finished his NRL career with 309 appearances, 76 tries. Big lead-in.
Huge lead-in.
Welcome to Roosters Radio, Mitchell Pearce, Junior.
Thanks,
good to
boys.
See
ya. Yeah, it's good to be here. Always enjoyed seeing you boys, and yeah, it's good to get back and talk footy and Roosters.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a lot of things, but I mean, full disclosure, our families go back a long way to Balmain, and I want to touch on that a little bit because my uncle played with your dad at Balmain, and your grandparents had come down to Dawn Fraser Bars right up until the very end. You were a ball boy at Balmain with a couple of my cousins and, you know, your uncles and Auntie Kim.
Yep.
So the family, my mum's side of the family and the Pearces go back 100 years from the Balmain. So it's good to see you, mate.
Yeah, mate, you too. And as you said, great memories growing up in and around Balmain. Obviously got a good taste of footy from an early age with dad being dad, and spent plenty of my early days. Nan was living in Leichhardt and James Street there, just down the road from Leichhardt Oval, so a lot of our weekends were spent going to the game and then back to Leagues Club and then to Nan's, and yeah, good memories.
And what the fans don't know, Silky, is Junior's quite a bit younger than you, probably you know, 10, 11 years, but even when you were still ball boying, him and your cousin, they stood over you, Roosters ball boys, didn't have the Balmain toughness.
They were a bit younger.
And of course, mate, I know Junior doesn't drink these days, and we'll touch on you know, his new you know, sort of health regime, or you know, staying away from that later on in the podcast, but mate, one of our off-field immortals, if not our captain. Because once you can't take the characters out of the game, mate. There's some real great names. If we picked an off-field immortal side, mate, geez, there's some good characters.
Well, Nutty Wood's in it. There's some really – Toddy Carney. There's
John
some,
Elias.
There's
some Johnny
Elias. A good gang already.
Yeah. Brian Fletcher.
It's a Super League team.
Yeah. It's Joey Johns.
Joey.
He's just an alumni.
Joey's of great, immortal. He's the captain.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think we've – like, Joey's probably – yeah, he's going into more of a coaching role on that side for us, but there's certainly some characters.
He's the mentor.
He's the mentor.
Hey, Junior, if I take you back to 2007, round two – what do you remember about your debut?
I remember a big loss. That's what I remember. No, I just remember how excited I was. I came in, so I played Australian Schoolboys the year before. I captained the Australian Schoolboys, did a big tour over to England. I got player of the tournament, so I was full of confidence at that age. It's obviously great for your confidence. It was a big sort of breakthrough. I signed with the Roosters just before that, so the year before when Sticky was there. I spoke about that a lot. How much of a big influence he was. Obviously, coming through those schoolboys, looking for confidence and Sticky reaching out to you and really believing in you was a big reason I came to the Roosters. So, yeah, that was sort of the build-up to that. I came back from the tour and then trained. Chris Anderson was the coach. So he threw me into the full-time squad. I just wanted to put my head down and train as hard as I could and just try and earn my respect. And then I got a call-up in round two. So, which was special. It was in Cowboys, obviously, 17, skinny, very, very skinny. And
you were lightweight, you were.
I was, yeah.
Did you feel, you know, there's no more famous name than the Pearce name at the Tigers. You grew up as a ball boy there. Such synergy, the family and everything else. Did you feel growing up that you would have been a Tiger before, you know, as you're a young man coming into grade or coming into, you know, football?
I never thought, like, Dad was never, like, pushy about, like, you have to follow me. If anything, so I didn't play rugby league till I was 10. I was a good runner. Like, I was good in athletics when I was a kid and sort of dabbled with a few different sports. But Dad, I think specifically, like sort of pushed me away from it a little bit till I sort of could work out, be old enough to work out what I wanted to do. Obviously, he would have realised the pressure and all that sort of stuff. So I played soccer till I was 10, which in hindsight I think was really good for me as a halfback as I got older. I think soccer for any kid's great for your vision and your skills and your footwork. So I think it actually helped me later on as a halfback. But yeah, so I kept knocking on the door, and then 10, 11, I signed for North Ryde Hawks and started playing there. But I think I got out of the Balmain system though, so I ended up playing out at Asquith Kieran Foran and Liam Foran, who were my two best mates.
At Balmain, did you play with blockers, young blokes?
Yeah, so Liam's my best mate. Yeah. No, I played against him. He was at Holy Cross.
Right.
And I was at North Ryde. Who I actually played with was the grouse at that age, Curtly Beale.
Yeah.
So Curtly was from out west.
Yeah.
He was boarding at Joey's, went to the private school there to play uni, got the scholarship. And Mark Lawson, who's an old Balmain, played on the wing and was a good family friend. And he was our coach at North Ryde. And someone reached out about Curtly to play rugby league. So we used to carpool Curtly, actually. So had a good relationship. We used to pick him up from Joey's mum and that. And we used to take him to training. And, mate, he was the best. So we had a pretty good – talking about Marquito, Jake
Moz's
son was there. Darren Nichols, he ended up playing a couple of games. Like, in that age group, there were some real good players.
There's some good players in that group.
I always give the ball to Curtly. And he used to score 5 tries every game. I'd score a couple. But, yeah, we used to play against Liam. And it was a good place to come through as a junior.
Mate, your work ethic, you ask anyone at the Roosters or anyone that's played there, along the way, Origin Knights, you know, your work ethic and your commitment and your discipline, do you think you get that from your dad? Is it inbuilt in the Pierce name? Is it something that goes back to your grandfather or something? Because you've worked hard, you've kept fit, you love it, you really apply yourself. Is that something that's just ingrained?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I give Dad all the credit for that. You know, as a young kid, you don't realise it till you get older how good an influence, you know, good or bad your parents are. You know, you get older and you see things for what they are. And I think it's even now that I've retired and looked back and reflected a bit more that, you know, I owe my dad so much just for everything he did. He was never pushy. Like, Dad never stood over me. He was never one of those parents who would stand over you, and that's not his leadership. It was more about follow me and this is how I do things.
Yeah.
And I'd go to the gym with him and he'd always, like, he'd just set the benchmark, and anything I did, he always wanted me to be, you know, give 100% and do my best. And those things that you learn at a young age, I think for me, just watching him, like, Dad would be up at 5 every morning eating all the food that he ate and just training, and like, so that's all I saw. So I think I just knew that that's, you know, to be successful, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. Do you realize, like, it's funny you say that, like, you grow up with that, right? So that's what you know. And, you know, it's like talking to someone of an Asian background. They say, mate, I only know Asian culture, Asian food and stuff. But your dad was so revolutionary in rugby league. He was the first guy to buck the trend in training and nutrition and everything else. And I remember, you know, we went to a camp when we were younger and your dad come and spoke, and some of the things they were doing, doctors weren't even doing it, and they've adopted some of those principles, you know. So do you realise, do you look back and think, wow, he was really a pioneer in that health or that next player?
Yeah,
you
know, I still, to this day, and everyone I've played with and people I've met, I haven't met anyone as headstrong as my dad.
Yep.
And that's a big call, because I've come across a lot of players and coaches and great leaders, but I'm always probably a bit more biased.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anyone, you know, Dad grew up in Balmain, tough sort of family, big drinkers. And he went against the grain when it wasn't cool to go against the grain.
Yeah.
And I think that's something now you get older, like, I got that much respect for that, because to be able to do that, especially in that era, you know, not drink, you know, back yourself with your own training programs and all that stuff that he did. Yeah, like, I think, you know, watching that, he's taught me to try and, you know, think for yourself and be your own man as well. And that's something I've learned off him.
Yeah, just on that, because what a lot of people wouldn't know is that your dad wasn't the only Pierce that played first grade.
Yeah, like,
Glenn played two games.
Pud. Glenn played reserve grade.
Yeah, yeah. Pud played one game for the Tigers, I think, and one game for the Bulldogs. So, you know, they were all good footballers, and then Glenn played a lot of A grade as well, and they won a few comps in the local Balmain comp. But they were all footballers, the Pierce boys. Mitchell was able to change the whole fabric of the Pierce family, because back when he first started, Terry had come to the games, and Glenn and Graham and Kim had come with Brick Fago. So all mad Balmain fans. Yeah.
Well, Fago, so for example, we talk about the connection to Balmain. So my grandma, mum's mum, was Outon.
Yeah.
So Keith Outon, who played in 96, and Laurie Fagan's Dave's father, man. Obviously. So there was a bit of connection in and around not just my family with the Pierce name, but also –
but they'd all be at the stadium, the old stadium, cheering on the Roosters back in the good old days. So he turned them all, converted them all.
Yeah.
Mate, you get graded, you play a fair bit of football in that first year, and I think it's only 2 years later you, you get selected for New South Wales as a young halfback, you know, up against, and we can look back in history now at the dynasty that that Queensland side had.
Well, God picked the side.
And, like, think about who you're up against. But, mate, to get picked at such a young age, the pressure must have been overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But I think when you're younger, you don't feel it as much. Well, for me anyway, because you're on – that year we had a really good year, 2008. Obviously, Freddie took over and we had Ogre and Mace and these guys when they were still playing really good footy, Fitzy. So my pack as a young half was pretty special and they all looked after me and I had a really good defensive team. So going into those early Origins, there was a lot of confidence. You're not scarred. It's a bit of a different feel. So yeah, there was pressure, but it was you're sort of confident and you're a bit cocky at that age and you back yourself. But yeah, I speak about it now in retirement, about my Origin career, and it was a roller coaster. And it was funny because it's hard to talk about. Like when you play, you got a bit of shame around it when you're losing and all the stuff that goes around it. And I've always just pushed it away. Now that I've retired and especially now that the Origin series is about to start again and you get asked different questions, it's quite a reflective time for me. And it's good to actually sort of sit back from and take all the emotion out and see it for what it is. It was a roller coaster and it was a tough time for New South Wales. A lot of probably insecurity around that time about trying to deal with losses, wins, and then getting back on track for the Roosters.
But just on that, mate, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we used to have conversations about this. You're a very polarising player back then, and we talked about this off air that, you know, put your name in the paper.
He was a cash cow for the media.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it was.
And I honestly believe, and I say it to your face, that I think you were unfairly treated by the journos at the time because they used to blame you for a lot of those losses, right? Like, it was very hard to win a game when your forwards are getting dominated up front. But there was miles and miles of columns written about how Mitchell Pearce let the team down. I just think if I look back at your 19 games, I think you're pretty unfairly treated, if I'm being honest.
I've said it a few times recently. So you look at a lot of those series, 2011 were one playoff, probably locking up the series, yeah. 15, 17, like, and I take responsibility. As a halfback, you've got to take responsibility for your wins and losses. And Lockyer, Thurston, and Cronk were better players than me in big moments, no doubt in the world. And I can say that. And in those big pressure moments, me and the New South Wales team didn't handle them as well. And in the end, we lost those games. So I can own that. I know that the wins we had and the games I played really well, I also know what I did well in myself. And that can sometimes get blown out of proportion from media in what you're saying. But, yeah, I look back at it all. You know, I didn't handle those big moments as well as those great Origin players. And I'm happy to say that now. And yeah, that's what it was. And at the end of the day, New South Wales as a whole team in that period, we didn't handle those moments as well as them, and that's why we lost. It's as simple as that.
Well, 2019, you come back into the fold. I actually watched the highlights of it last night just to get our head around it. Bush and I were out there. We went to Golden Century beforehand and got on the drink and went out there.
I only had the fish and vegetables.
Teddy scores in the corner. Teddy scores in the corner in the dying seconds, but that game, and there was even the footage of your old man coming on the field at the end of the match. What did it feel like to finally win one?
Yeah, that was the best. Like, obviously, if I think back on the best feelings, 13 grand final and then that 19. I was under that. I was in really good form at Newcastle going into that game. I think I had about 6 men of the match. It was probably the best I've played, like, individually in the circumstances of where I was with the team. So I was going in really confident. But obviously, in the back of my mind, you have that little bit of fear that if I lose again, like, it's going to... There was a lot at stake, and did I want to deal with that as well? So, yeah, but like when the opportunity came, I just, you know, I went into that game knowing I had to win.
Yeah,
I had to win, and that's an unbelievable feeling that when you do win, the emotion that comes out and everything that was before that. So that's why I think it was such a special moment, and like just the emotion and just seeing how. Like I said it straight after the game as well. The worst thing about playing for New South Wales and losing is letting everyone down. Like, you know, you're not just playing for yourself in that jersey. You're playing for your family more than anything. When you run out there at kickoff and you're doing the anthem, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about everyone that's there to watch you. You're genuinely thinking about everyone else that's there to watch you, the bloke next to you, and then your family. And so when you lose those series and everyone's so invested in it, it fucking hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So to win that, it was good.
I mean, it hurts as fans. I can only imagine what it hurts like as a player.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I think, Junior, the night, I think everyone was so happy for you. But when you see, you know, you see it with Nathan and Ivan Cleary, we saw it that night with you and your dad. I think it gave everyone that feeling. Any fan of New South Wales would say, you know what, he's been, in our opinion, hard done by, and a lot of the pressure was focused on you. But it must have meant so much to have that for you and just your immediate family and those that love you, that don't judge you on anything, want the best for you. They ride the wins, they ride the losses. Must have been so special just for you and the family, like, you know, the influence of your dad especially, to just have that little moment together after that win.
Yeah, and we have one of those father-son hugs, you know. It's different, isn't it? You know,
iconic.
It's just,
it's an iconic photo.
Yeah, it was just, I could see getting a bit emotional.
It's good.
Like those things. I think when we won the 13 grand final, I remember just crying for fucking about half an hour. And I remember, like, dad cuddling me and then all the boys, you know, you're in the sheds. You guys were obviously in there probably as well. But I remember mum going to me, what are you crying for? Like, she thought there was something wrong, and I was like, I just can't, I don't know. It's just all this emotion. And it was the same thing in 13, you know, you look at your dad in the eye after those, I'm crying.
Cry, mate, we love it.
But you look at, you know, your dad and people that go through all those sort of emotions with you, that's what you miss most when you finish footy. Like, there's nothing that compares, you know, all the sacrifice you put in and all the effort to win big games. And then, you know, share that moment with your dad, there's nothing better. I don't know why I'm crying.
Don't worry, mate. We love it because it's real emotion. And it's just beautiful. Mate, we watched your dad. We marvelled. It wasn't a rugby league fan. Your dad is probably, the modern day player that would relate would be Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah.
Everyone loved Wayne Pearce. Everyone respected Wayne Pearce. He was not the captain of the Tigers, you know, and yes, he played New South Wales and everything else, but he was different, right, because of the things he did. He bucked the trend of everything. Did just kind of, and everyone wanted the Tigers to win in 89. It's a great story. I was there and, you know, almost had Ray Hadley behind me.
You were there at the game.
Yeah, I was at the game. Yeah, my grandfather, you know, got me some great tickets, and Hadley's in the box behind me banging on the glass. I thought it was going to come through and Big Ray was going to land in my lap. I don't know, that would have ended up. But honestly, we watched that game and everyone wanted the Tigers to win. Did you kind of feel when you won the comp in 2013 and, you know, you win that Origin, those moments are for your family? Because, there's a well-documented, your dad's never watched the grand final again. Did you kind of feel it was, you know, on their behalf as well? Is that what gets you emotional?
Yeah, and dad's not, like what I said about father-son relationships, you know, you don't sort of sit there and, well, me and my dad never had real D&Ms about, like, I want you to win for me.
Yeah.
But I knew how much it would have meant to him as well by winning that. And he even said that in the comment after the game, which meant a lot to me. He said, I wasn't able to win one. So to experience it in 13 with me, it sort of made him let go of his one a little bit. So that sort of stuff's priceless. And
100%.
I think there was emotion there after the game. Like, I could see how proud he was, and makes you feel special.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you played in two. Obviously, we lost one in 2010. There's always that old saying, you know, you got to lose one to win one.
Mm.
Do you believe that? Like, what did you learn from 2010 when we played the Dragons that you took into the 2013? Because if my memory serves me correctly, it's pretty much the same side. There wasn't a lot of changes. You know, the core players that were there in 2010 were there in 2013. So if you take yourself back, what were some of the key learnings that you took into that grand final in 2013?
Well, I think there was a few changes. Like, obviously, we had probably a bit more experience with Sonny and Jimmy. Well, Toddy was there as good as anyone that year, so it wasn't more around the halves. But obviously, with Sonny, Luke O'Donnell, who was a bit of an older head that had been there and done it. But, yeah, the squads were pretty similar.
Well, Orbos and, you know, Jake Friend and Minis and so on and so forth.
I think the difference was probably that the age. Like,
just maturity.
Well, I think the first year going into it, and as you can remember from that season, it was a real fairy tale sort of year. Like, we had
a big run, didn't we?
We gained a lot of momentum. We probably didn't have the highest expectations at the start of the year. We thought we were going to go well. Brian Smith came in and took over as coach. We hit the ground running that year. Me and Toddy combined really well. We had some real good footy. It had that feel about it. There was a real good energy. But, yeah, it was more of a momentum year, where Dragons that year, if you can remember, they were like the Melbourne Storm for 3 years. They had Wayne Bennett. Their defence was unbreakable. They had all the pressure on them, and we were like this fairy tale sort of year. If I had my time again, a regret, I would have realised what was at stake more going into my first grand final. Because when you're young and it's all happening fast, you sort of almost take the moment for granted a little bit. You're going in, ticking all the boxes, and you're there. It's the biggest day of your life. But the feeling I had compared to that in 13, it was a bit like how I had in 19 with the grand final, with the Origin, sorry. It's like, we have to win this, or it might never come again. So, yeah, that was the biggest difference. And if I had my time again, I would have tried to seize the moment more in 2010. Like, it's just where we were at. And I reckon as a whole group, we were a bit like that. Because in 13 in the sheds, I remember before that game, that was probably the most nervous I've been going into a game. And you could sense it with the group. I just knew that they'd had to hit us with every baseball bat to beat us and that's the way the game went in the end. But like the feeling in the boys' eyes, like it's a grand final, obviously, but you could just feel this. I can't explain it. I just remember the feeling was just fucking so tight in a good way. Like just this intensity. And we all knew what was at stake and we didn't want to let this one slip. So yeah, to win that was special. And Manly that year were a great team. Like any time we came up against them, even the semi-final to get the week off was 4-0, the game.
Yeah, that's right. It was too, yeah.
So, and I remember that. Like you'd think a game that's 4-0 would have no footy in it, but there was both teams throwing the ball around. It was just that both teams were that good defensively.
So good, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, the difference in 10 to 13 was just probably, yeah, to answer your question, you know, learn from the approach you had to the first one and you know you didn't want to let another one slip.
I want to ask you about a couple of the players, but you just piqued my interest there because I remember one of the great stories we heard out of that 2013 grand finals, after you just won it, the very next morning, Sonny Bill was back in the gym training.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for the young kids out there that, you know, want to be footballers, you want to talk about commitment. You just win a grand final. Obviously, Sonny, also non-drinker, but he was actually in the weights room doing his training the next morning while yous are all in the piss.
Must have been tired because I remember him being at the tunnel till 10 in the morning with us. He wasn't drinking, but I think I was chewing his ear off.
Which happens.
No wonder he went, fuck off.
Hey, Junior, I wrote a little list of your halves pairing at your time at the club. So, Talk through these blokes. So the first one was Braith.
And the field goal.
Yeah.
Talk about your partnership with him in the halves.
Yeah, Braith was awesome for me coming in as a young guy. Obviously, I looked up to him. A real good bloke, Braith. He's just a bit more of an introverted type of leader, but when you get to know him, he's a really supportive guy. And coming in as a young guy, he took a lot of the reins. I could play off the back of Braith and learn my trade. And he turned into a really good captain as well, Braith. You know, going in that 2010 year where I said we were all a bit younger and coming through, he was the older head and nailed so many big moments for us.
Well, that field goal against the Tigers, that's probably the
that's probably the
greatest Roosters game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
for
the SKD and the intercept.
So, Braith was awesome in those early days and played a lot of footy with Braith.
Yeah.
And still got a good relationship with him now. And
The next cab off the rank, I know you guys are very close even now, Toddy Carney.
Yeah, Toddy's my favourite. Sometimes you just come, you know, different type of blokes that you just have a chemistry with and you find a friendship and then on the field things just work for us. It's just, I think, too, from the day we sort of, I met Toddy, we just sort of started bouncing off each other, in each other's pocket from the start. And I love Toddy's, where I was at, Toddy, like, he was one of the best I've ever seen at moving across the field and his natural instincts. Like, as a footballer, like, he was just so good to play with. And I was a bit younger than Toddy. I'm 3 years younger than Toddy. So, in a way, I sort of looked up to Toddy in a bit. Like, I was still learning my trade. He was a bit older. And then there was different parts of my game that I think helped Toddy in a way. So, we had a really good chemistry. And, that year in 2010 was probably the funnest style of footy I've played.
You're similar personalities too. Like, Bush, you sponsored Toddy in that year, right? So
we did.
You had a good relationship with Toddy.
I'll give you a quick one on Todd Carney. It's funny. It came up today. We were at the stadium this morning with our little group that we train with.
You were having a coffee, no doubt.
I was there for the coffee. And one of the boys brought up a photo of Todd Carney down at Coogee Oval. So I ring Todd Carney. I said, hey, listen, mate. I've got a young kid, Jack Gillard. Brett Gillard is at the Roosters. Gilly's a young fellow. I said, he's the biggest Todd Carney fan. He's even got the sleeve tattoo, you know.
He was the OG with the tats, Toddy, wasn't he?
He was. Anyway, he said, yeah. I said, would you come down? I said, train at Coogee Oval in the morning with the kids. We play touch. He goes, can you do us a favour? I said, yeah. He said, could you give us a lift? I said, mate, absolutely. He goes, sorry, mate, I've lost my licence. And I went.
Again.
He is Toddy.
That's Toddy, right? I kid you not. Yeah. Most blokes go, yeah, mate, I'll come down 5 minutes. He comes down. He's standing there and he's got to play. He's got to play on the weekend. He's just itching. He goes, do you mind if I play? I said, are you serious? I said, we'd love you to play. He gets the ball, everything you said right. Now, these kids are 10, 11, 12. Some of the dads are there. It's amazing. Toddy Carney played 30 minutes of touch. He was teaching them by the end of it. Even the fathers are going, Todd, pushing kids out of the way to hit holes.
Yeah.
Right? And he made these kids feel amazing. Like, people don't realise, another polarising character in rugby league, one of the most talented people that we've seen come through our game.
Yeah,
and, you know, to hear you say that's a huge rap for both of you. But what a champion off the field.
Yeah, he is.
We loved
Toddy's
him.
Toddy's got a great heart. Like, he's just... take all the other stuff out of, you know, we've all made mistakes and no good on the drink. We're both like that. We're very similar. But
I wouldn't say no good on the drink. Let's not go.
Good.
Mate, you're
good
very
good. Good and no good.
Well, the problem is.
Depends who you're talking to.
Well, no. People.
Well, it depends what time of the night.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and people use it to their advantage to you know, so we can't say no good on the drink because you're an off-field immortal. Remember that.
Mate, the next one, Jimmy Maloney.
Yeah.
What was it like playing with him?
Yeah, Jimmy was another one. I've been blessed with all the halves I've played with. Mm. Jimmy's probably the smartest player in big moments that I've played with. When I say smartest, Jimmy's got that rat's ass personality, and everyone says it, but I've had a lot to do with him in big moments. He's got an ability to not get caught up. Like he literally doesn't get affected by emotion of what's going on around him. He misses three or four tackles. He's the first to spray someone else to make their tackles. And there's a great gift in that. It's very rare. And his intelligence to talk on the run, like his game management and his ability to know what play to do. Like he's one of the best I've played with. Mm. Jimmy, I play with a lot of players, but in big moments, because a lot of players could see it and think it, but Jimmy wouldn't be fazed with what else was going on. So he could, you know, you might lose players sometimes after a few errors and they go into their shell a bit where, win or loss or good or bad, Jimmy will always be present. And he was a good guy to play with for me with that. I think we complemented each other well. And, yeah, we had some good success there.
And your last year, you played the season with Kez, obviously still going around.
I played with some good ones, haven't I?
Yeah.
Great parents.
What was it like playing alongside Kez?
He was another one. I think that year when me and Luke played together, we had the most try assists and line breaks assists. Not that I'm a stats man, but I remember a few people have said it since because we opened up our attack a lot that year. He was another one. He was a running at that time when he came over at South. He was playing on the ball a little bit more, but we sort of found a good combination where I was playing on the ball a bit more and he was playing his roaming role and his running game. So, but yeah, another one that just a bit like Jimmy doesn't get fazed by things that happened before. He's always in the moment, ball of energy, and he's been a champion player.
Now you've played against some great players. I mean, that's an impressive alumni of half
pairings. That's just the halves.
That's just the halves.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to focus on, you know, your great mate Kieran Foran. I think it's a dream of every Rooster. We all know that doesn't matter where they play or who they are, they always end up at the Roosters for some reason. And
you reckon he still might come?
Yeah, it'd be good. Would you have liked to have played with Kieran at the highest level or in first grade?
Yeah, I would have loved to. We always spoke about it, you know, all our life playing together. It was hard to drag Kieran out of Manly with all the success he was having there and being a bit of a legend down there. I would have loved to play with Kieran. I played one game with him in an All-Stars game.
Yes.
We got picked with Wayne Bennett was the coach. You know what those games are like. It's hard. They're taking players in and out. But just being in camp with him that week was unreal. Just it was like growing up sort of thing. So, yeah, I would have loved to play with Kieran. And I think our games would have complemented each other really well. But, yeah, what a player he's been and the amount of stuff he's been through. You know, some stuff people don't even know, you know, a lot of private stuff that he's overcome and everything like that. He's just been an absolute warrior. And I think he's not far off 300 games. So I think he's about nine games off 300.
Yeah, he'll just make it if his injury, if he's back on the field shortly. But what a great job he's doing at the Titans. And just that older head, right?
Yeah, well, he's just the ultimate. He was the original of going to the line, wasn't he? Like when he first came in and the courage he was showing at taking the ball to the line and, yeah, anyone who's ever played, he's one of those players that, you know, you can't say a bad word about him. He's the ultimate competitor and he's a good team man and he had a great career.
Mate, we talked on the halves, but I just looking at your playing career back at the Chooks, you know, you started with Orbo way back then. Obviously, players like Jake Friend, Boyd, of course, Minnie, Jared, Aiden Guerra, Sean Kenny Dow, you know, these were all, he's all won premierships together, but I know good mates off the field, like, you still keep in contact with a lot of those blokes?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think you can't replace that kind of, like, relationships in footy. Like, when you go through it, I was very lucky that we got to play with, like, Boyd came in at 16. Like, me and Orbo played CCC together before we'd even signed with the Roosters. Mm-hmm. Me and Friendy played all the career together before I left. I think when you go to, for me, going to Newcastle and then to France, coming back, that sort of friendship's deeper than just a teammate. You know, because of everything you've been through. And when you come through as a young kid together, they know you're back to front, right? Mm-hmm. You're not meeting halfway through your career. And you go through all the highs and lows and goods and bads and all the wig outs of the piss. And so there's a lot of good times there. And, yeah, like someone like Boyd, you know, he's one of my all-time favourites to play with. He was the best captain I've ever played with.
Is that right?
Friendy was great too, you know.
Why is Boyd the best captain? Just define that for our fans. I think that too.
It's just who he is, like – Boyd was like that when he first came down at 16, before he was, you know, he was just a young kid coming in, but he just had that, you know, some blokes just carry
head.
Some blokes just carry weight, and it's just hard to pinpoint sometimes why they carry that. It's just who they are, and you could say it, he's honest, he's tough, he does what he says. He's just a man, isn't he? Like, if you describe the man, just go, Boyd.
You said before about your dad, and I love what you said, you know, follow me, you know, don't listen to me, follow me. Boyd seems a bit like that.
Yeah, he's exactly the same.
Yep.
And, you know, that emotion that he, you know, I think he just invests so much that you can't help but follow people like that. And it's just so raw and real. It's those great champions and leaders like that in Boyd's type of mold, they're just legends. And yet you can't always pinpoint it. You can say all the nice things, but they are just what they are. And as a player, like, he just made you feel comfortable playing with him. You just knew when you were playing with Boyd, you know, you just didn't want to let him down.
Junior, we're talking about a few of the some of the players that you've played with and against, but coaches, obviously Trent Robinson is one that comes to mind. You mentioned Brian Smith before.
We'll go back. Let's start at Sticky, Freddie, Brian Smith, Robbo.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Well, yeah. Out of all the coaches you played under at the Roosters, who's the ones that had the most impact on you as a player and, you know, made you who you are today?
I think all your coaches, without trying to be cliche and brush over it, all your coaches have an influence where you're at in your career. Like, I think any player who doesn't respect every coach has played their part is missing the point, I think. Sticky, as I said earlier, at that age where I needed belief as a young kid, he gave me belief, you know, and I think that's something that's priceless. So and being a half, but then I had Sticky in Origin in the early days. Mm. So that belief gave me confidence to move forward. And he was unreal. Sticky's approach was, he'd just make you hate the opposition. Like, and he was the best. Like, he's got that ability, an ex-grade half, been a great coach. He could just galvanise a group. And he just got everyone from forwards to halves, everyone, you'd follow him, right? And he'd just create so much hate. So I enjoyed that. Like, we're going to Origin. Kill Corey Parker, kill this bloke. Like it was mad.
Picking him off like an army
guy. Yeah, yeah. And in those camps, it was like every piss up, yeah, like you're on the piss and he's like, it's every chat's about putting a cross on someone else's head on from the opposite. Right. So that was good fun at that age. Brian Smith was great the first year, 2010, with opening our game up. Me and Toddy would say the same thing. He taught us a heap about game plans. For me, it was like every week we had a new plan. So for me as a young half, 2021, I learned a lot about strategy. Playing eyes up, a lot of stuff like that. And then Robbo's the best coach I've had.
Is that right?
Yeah, Robbo's the best coach I've had. With the success we had, and just, he's got a great ability. He's got so many layers, Robbo, as we know. And
he's complex, isn't he?
He's very complex, yeah. And he's very emotionally intelligent. There's a lot of different coaches that are just very process and motivators. But Robbo's got a lot of layers, and I felt like he knew he could read you know. So I think that gave me a lot of... It grew me a lot, you know, as a player.
A lot of players say that Robbo grows the man, not the footballer. The footballer comes from that. Do you agree with that statement? And can you define what it is? Just lift the curtain a bit behind what it is that makes Robbo so good.
Yeah, I think he's like footy wise. His IQ is highly intelligent, and I think he understands, like I said, people. So we had really. I got a bit of a deep side to me as well, and being a halfback, so he could tap in a lot of emotional side of things. As a coach, you know, people talk about Wayne Bennett being similar. And as I said before, I've had different coaches that are great at process and organisation and motivation, tick all the boxes. But yeah, Robbo had he could create an energy in the room. And I think that's the good coaches that had longevity, they got an ability to create an energy. They know what works for you. They know what works for you, Silk. They know what everyone's different and they can tap into that. And I think Robbo, he challenges his players really well, like, which keeps you focused and motivated. Like the Roosters, the legacy that they've had, the three premierships and the high success for like 12 years now, that's hard. That's a hard job to manage a lot of personalities. And I think Robbo, it's because he knows how to, you know, challenge and push the right buttons.
If we look post 2013, you know, we got one game shy in 2014. We got knocked off by South. Then we had 2015, 2016 wasn't the best of years, of course. Then your final year, 2017, you know, with all the talk that was going on then, and then you moved to Newcastle, you've had a lot of time to kind of think about, I mean, you played some of your best footy at Newcastle, but was there ever a time you wish you stayed?
I was having a laugh the other day when I came back. So when I've come back and working with the academy kids, and Robbo took me through the first day, and they got all the they got the wall. You've obviously been in there. They got the wall of all the players' achievements, and I go through, and they got I got my one trophy there in the minor premiers, and then I go up, and all the boys I played with have all got their three trophies. So I thought maybe if I had to stay and play off the bench, I might have a couple more trophies. But I always say, like, at that time, I was disappointed. I was a competitor. The way it went down, it's I spoke about it. I'm honest about it. There's no secrets there. But I also understand the decision. I've said the same thing. Cooper came in. He's an out-and-out champion, won two competitions. So, but, yeah, at the time, the way I was and the kind of person I am, and I was a bit stubborn and a competitor, I was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. So I don't live with regret. That's where I was at that time.
And to be fair to say, you played some really good football. You got back into the New South Wales squad from Newcastle. Mm. So, like, it's not like you're going to live with regret. But I suppose with hindsight, you can look back and say, I could have, should have, whatever. But I think you've answered. So the answer is no, not really.
No, I think I was glad I went there. Like, in who I am as a person, the way I felt at that time, I backed myself and I went there. And I went and took a new opportunity. And I really enjoyed my footy the first year. It was like a weight off the shoulders a bit. Mm. Like Newcastle was – I had a couple of options at the time. And
Storm?
Yeah, the Storm was one
That's a good story.
That was a good story. I think Smithy
– yeah, well, tell it because it's interesting for fans. So,
a lot of Roosters fans might know this.
Yeah. So after it all went down and then Cooper had obviously signed and all that, I had a call from Cameron Smith. And I always joke about it. You know, you get a message – from Cameron Smith on your phone, you get those, it's like the hot girl when you're at school, you know? You get the butterflies in your stomach. A bit of a tingle in the little area.
Yeah.
So I went, fuck, I called my manager, Tristan, and I said, and he was in camp actually, he used to do some stuff with the Australian team. And he goes, yeah, give him a call. Smithy just asked me for your number. So like when you have a setback and you feel pretty shit about yourself and you'd probably doubt yourself a little bit, to then get a call from Smithy for a club like Melbourne was like, fuck, how good's this? So I had a really good chat with him on the phone. I hadn't had a whole lot to do with him before that. We spoke for, 20 minutes. A real good fella, Smithy, and keeps things really simple. But he said, mate, I really want you here. I'm going to talk to Bellyache. And then I think Munster was on board about it as well. So, I was starting to go, fuck, it wouldn't be a bad combo, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a genuine option. But it wasn't just about money. I would have gone there for less. But with the top 30 and I had to shuffle things around, it ended up being a bit of hard work, on their end, but every time I see Smithy now, like I haven't had a whole lot to do with him, but I've got a bit of a relationship with him in that regard, and there's a bit of respect there, which I appreciate.
The irony is, you could actually say, mate, if you had me in 2018, we would have won that. Yeah.
it's one of those ones. Billy Slater was still playing there too, so like it would have been a different experience. Pretty good one, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
Junior, there's not, you do lots of media and lots of podcasts since you come back. You seem to be so settled and happy in your life. It's amazing. Everyone wants to talk about some of the little minor off-field skirmishes and stuff that, or origin losses or whatever, which is such a minute part of your career. But when you think about it, the people you've played with, the experience you have, the amount of games you've played, the fact the way you held yourself with such dignity going to Newcastle, I mean, you must be super proud of the list of people you've been coached by, played with, and the legacy you've left as a footballer. You have nothing.
He's a 300 gamer too.
Oh, mate, 300, you know what I mean? Mate.
350 after.
350, please.
We're going to talk about Francis. Yeah.
Says a bloke that calls himself head of research. So you must be really proud of that, because to have Cameron Smith ring you at a dark moment, and there's been plenty that you've overcome, you're the ultimate overcome of adversity player, I reckon, which is why we love you so much as fans. But you must be really super proud to be able to have that, on your record.
Yeah, all I've ever cared about as a player is getting respect off your teammates, being myself. I've always been a competitor and always wanted to do my best for the team. And as we know, as a bloke, all you want from each other is to do your best, be honest, turn up and do your job. And I feel like I did a lot of that through my career. And I've got great relationships out of the game, and I value that more than anything, especially when you retire. All those relationships and experiences and players you get to play with, it's all part of it, isn't it? It's all what you played for in the first place. So, at the end of the day, like, it's hard to see, because I was such a winner and you wanted to win, and then when you lose Origin and you might lose a big game going into finals at the Roosters when I moved on, and you hold on to those things as a competitor, and it's hard to see the rest of it. But I think as you retire, it's about letting go, and as you just said, appreciating the bigger picture. And that takes time, I won't lie. It takes time to sort of let go and see all the good. I think every player that's played that's a high achiever would say the same thing. You hold on to things that you wish you had again. You know, I wish I nailed that big moment in Origin against Locker in 2011. I wish I won this, you know, 2010. I wish I was better prepared in this. Or, you know, it's hard to let go of that. And I'm grateful I had that because it gives you a career. If you don't give a fuck, you don't string games together. But yeah, I do appreciate everything I've done.
There's blokes like us who never played first grade, who was kids. Like, how many people do you know that grew up wanting to be footballers, whether they played, you know, park footy or whatever? But at one stage in all our lives, we all wanted to be first grade footballers. We wanted to be Mitchell Pearces or Wayne Pearce. You know, like my own uncle played first grade with your dad, and I remember being at Leichhardt watching him, dreaming that one day that'd be me.
Just quietly, I wanted to be Ellery Hanley or Martin Afire.
I still want to be.
Yeah, for different reasons, of course.
Getting around Manchester.
That's a really good segue. That's Bike a great pants. Segue because
South of London.
After you finished.
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Luke. Anyway, we'll get
there. We're going to segue straight into that because you finish at Newcastle and you go over to. Well, I mean, it may surprise our Roosters fans, but Bush was a bit of a trailblazer when it comes to playing rugby league in France. Bush played a bit of rugby league over there, but, mate, you went over to the Cattle Dragons.
Can we just clear up? Let me not compare myself to actual footballers. On. I am the grandson of a Hall of Famer at the Roosters.
You played in France.
And I was the SG ball captain, yes. Yeah. We talked about this. Yeah. Not to frame myself as a footballer to say, mate, I had the same dreams you just talked about. And Junior and I shared this last night. We've been great mates since, you know, we met with Fletch and Junior and I in our association. He said, I can't believe you played in France. And I started rattling off how good. It changed my life and the culture and stuff. So when you went to Newcastle, part of us as Roosters fans, as mate, we're so happy for him because he's made a decision. We wanted you to have success. I love when you kiss the jersey, the Knights jersey.
I don't reckon everyone did.
No, but you know what?
That moment worked out so well, though. You know
amazing.
What I actually said to my mate talking about that? I said to because I was in good form. Yeah. And you know when things are flowing for you, just you feel like you've been untouchable? I was in the zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So going into that game, I was really confident. My mate said, fuck, it'd be good to score a try tonight. And I went, fucking hell, I'll score one and I'll kiss the badge. I actually said it to him.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not being a bit weird, but I remember going
at it. The sports bet odds were on that.
And it sort of just worked out. It was funny how like it sort of manifested and it happened. So but it went to plan. It doesn't always, but it did.
Half the fans thought, you know what, mate, you're only on loan up there. Good on you. That was that was for Junior, right? Personal. But then you go to France and I thought to myself, Steve Mack, we had a fairly good relationship with Steve Mack before we went. Before he went over there as well. And I just knew how good France would be for you and how good you would be for French rugby league. I think, you know, setting a benchmark. So I was that happy. But, you know, we played over there and loved it. Best experience of our life. How did you find it?
Yeah, exactly the same as we were talking about last night. I think I went at an age where I was ready for change and a lot changed for me there. I mean, plenty of people probably go over there and it's just the piss up and come home.
A bit of a retirement.
Yeah.
But
it felt like, you know, I get a bit deep with stuff like that, but things happen for a reason. And when I went over there, the first year, it's a bit hard to adapt. Like, you know, you're still stuck in Australian mode.
Language,
and you got one foot here and you're missing family and friends. Second year, I made a big change. I stopped drinking. Had a bit of an epiphany again and just went, I'm sick of this. I needed to make a change. So I went over there. I had two really solid mates I keep speaking about, Tyrone May and Michael McAlorum, who was a guy I really followed. He's one of the English great players over there, played at Wigan for years. Talk about Boyd, he's a similar type of guy, really tough guy, had a pretty tough sort of story and he doesn't drink. He was just one of those blokes you want to follow. I gravitated to Mickey. And I think things like that come into your life for a reason. I really believe that. So he was a big influence on me. It was my choice to get off the drink and kind of get cultured, but he was a guy, he's a bit of a gypsy Mickey, you know, he's travelled everywhere. And so it was a whole different world that I was able to let go of a lot of the Sydney and rugby league stuff. I met my partner there, a French girl. So a lot of that stuff, it was a great experience for me. And yeah, I do miss France. I do miss the culture there and just the escape a bit. You know,
it's
a different world.
But it's the opportunity too, mate, because like on a whim, you go, I'm going to go to Spain today. I'm going to go down to Spain.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go skiing.
I do miss that.
You know, I'm going to go skiing in Andorra. Yeah, I'm going to go up the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Just something to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump on a train. I'm going to go to England or Germany. Like it's
mine was probably
so cool, right?
Mine was at the bakery in the markets as well.
The fresh bread.
What was that?
How good the bakery in the markets?
The markets are the best.
What about the
villages?
Le Champion. What about going to Le Champion and you walk around the supermarket and all the food's fresh?
Yeah. And the people are there good. It's a great town. Like, obviously, as you know, like the south of France is mainly rugby union.
Yeah.
Big money in the game in rugby union over there. But you got this little pocket of of Catalonians that are all knockabouts. It's a real working class and tough people. You know, they live off not much. Like the economy there is quite low. It's a working class area, and it's just all rugby league. And they love rugby league. They know everything. All the locals, if you can, get a bit of English out of them.
Yeah, it's like going to Newcastle and Wollongong everywhere, right? Every carpentry, you know, Carcassonne. Yeah.
And they love. They know all the old players. They're always talking about your Block of Roaches and all the '80s play, like the older blokes. They love. They've had tours over there, right? So they had Australian tours and that. So they love rugby league, and that's which is cool. You're playing for those type of people in a small area full of rugby union and soccer.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to play, and, I loved it.
You're over there playing, and you get the opportunity to play in two grand finals in the Super League, obviously different to what we're used to in the NRL, but to play at the highest level over there in England, what was it like playing in a Super League grand final?
Yeah, it was
two of them.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I was really disappointed. I did my hamstring the last round before the finals, so I played both finals with like about 60%. I got through the first game, got the grand final, and I did it. So I came off with about 20, 30 to go, which was disappointing. It was a bit of a dream run. I knew I was retiring, and going into that grand final, it was all like, and to win one for France was like a real goal. Like, you know, they've never won a grand final. The year before, Jimmy Maloney had retired. 2 years before, they made the grand final and lost. So there was a real feeling around it, and it hurt. Like any grand final, but like you get invested. Like I was only there for 2 years, but like it meant a lot to me. And to lose that was really disappointing. But to play, it's one of the best stadiums I've ever been at. Like the history of it. Have you been there before?
No, I haven't.
Like if you can get over there.
We went to the World Club Challenge in 2020 and we went to St. Helens and stuff like that. But none, you know, in those small stadiums. You know, the crowd, the atmosphere, mate, they sing.
The Northerners
are the
best.
They're getting beat by 40 and they're still singing up until the 79th minute, right?
Like Wigan and Saints, like they're mad.
The fans are tough people, eh?
They're tough. They're good boys. Like I love the Northerners. Like,
and the accent,
shirts off, hats all over them, throwing beer at everyone's head.
Oh, they're tough. 4,000 Victor Radleys.
Just yelling out stuff like that.
Yeah, they're legends. We had about 6 or 7 of the Northerners, like in my team. Yeah. Sammy Tompkins, one of the greats.
My mate
Mickey. So we had a good crew, and I had a lot of the older boys that had sort of been. So I learned a fair bit about the culture there as well, like the English rugby league. And yeah, it's a different world over there, but they're so passionate. So I loved it. I loved the stadiums. But yeah, the grand final itself was disappointing to lose. But to run out there and play in front of that was pretty special.
Mm. Mate, you come home and you're back settled down in the east. And I know, from a Roosters perspective, the great news is that you're starting to get involved in the academy, mentoring some of the younger players. I know that's something that I know we've spoken about where you're post-career, that's something you want to do more of. Can you tell us about your work, whether it started or it's going to start with the academy?
Nick's always been really good, even when I left, and he said there's always an opportunity to come back. So I've always been grateful for the Godfather. But
he's good like that, isn't he?
No, he
is.
With
you long-termers.
I'll tell you something about other clubs. You know, you go and you hear different players play at clubs for a long time and they talk about loyalty and this and that. But there's one thing about the Roosters, when you've been a good servant there, they do look after you. So
I think he calls it a true rooster, and you are a true rooster.
Yeah. So it's – So I reached out with Orbo and spoke with him about it. So it's unreal. So I'm linking up with him in Friendly doing the academy stuff. So there's some really good halves there coming through, and I've only just started for a couple of weeks, but enjoying it.
What's the role, mate? Like, so are you just working with the halves? Because I know because of your lived experience, right, that one thing that you are passionate about is probably mentoring young rugby league players. And it's fair to say that you're probably going to talk to them, do this, do as I say, not as I do kind of thing, and give them an insight on what it's like for a young footballer that comes in at a very early age, gets thrust into the spotlight, and what they've got to be careful of. So what's some of the stuff that you want to be able to do with, it doesn't have to be with the Roosters, but kind of it might be programs with kids at schools or stuff like that. Is there anything like that you're kind of looking at doing?
Yeah, so away from the academy thing, me and Toddy Carney, talking about mate Toddy for a bit there, we're working on a program to do with schools and some juvenile kids, and we're putting it together at the moment, but with a counsellor, an old friend of mine, she's an older lady, but we're going to set up a bit of a program to do some mentoring and both of us off the drink and trying to do good deeds. So we're pretty passionate about giving back in that space. But yeah, with the academy stuff at the moment, I just do a couple of days a week. But, you know, when I came through as a half, I had so many good mentors, coaches, but Matty Johns, Joey are two ones that stand out for me. Obviously I had Freddie here as well. But all those basic skills that I got taught as a young kid, and I've lived it myself, I'm passionate about passing that on. And I'll get out there and just do, obviously go through skills and review and all the normal stuff. But, you know, I get a lot of kick out of that. I really love that side of stuff. I loved playing, but I loved learning. I loved, you know, all the drills I used to do with these type of guys when I was younger. So hopefully I can pass that on.
What about coaching, Junior? Is that, have you got that itch?
No, not yet.
No?
Nah.
You see Boy and you see Orbo, even with the young ones. Like, is it something that you maybe would consider?
Well, I suppose I'm coaching now. Like, I'm doing the academy.
But like that more of that full-time kind of role. Like, we see you in the blue shirt like Boyd used to, or Friendy's kind of doing at the moment. Where, or BMOS is another one coaching our reserve grade. So is that something that piques your interest at all?
No, I definitely want to get into coaching.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're just retired because obviously still fresh from retirement and you've been in the system for a long time. So I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm coaching. I'm on the coaching staff. Going into a full-time role, I suppose it's like anything. You got to work your way up and it's commitment and then being fully invested. So, yeah, I'm loving what I'm doing at the moment, throwing everything I am into it, and hopefully I can help the younger boys coming through. Like I said, there's some really good halves. And then, yeah, if the passion's there and then they want me, you know, to kick on, I'll obviously be invested.
I think, you know, everyone's life's a book, you know, I believe, and there's different chapters and there's some good ones and bad ones and everything, as you've had so many more good ones. But let's fast forward 5 years. Where's Mitchell Pearce in 35 now? Owes the game nothing, got so much to give back. We understand with the coaching side, but where are you in the way of your personal life, in the way of your professional life? Have you worked out what's after football?
Yeah, I'm sort of in that. I think transition after you retire is a bit of a strange time. A lot of guys struggle with it. I've blessed that I've come back. I'm doing a bit of Triple M. It sort of just happened organically a bit, which I'm enjoying, staying involved, doing a bit of commentary, talking footy with Toddy around the podcast stuff.
Roosters
Radio. the mentoring stuff I'm passionate about. I've always been passionate about that because, as I spoke about before, when I was coming through, you always looked up to older people, you know, whether it was older blokes to learn off or just older people in the game. I always loved learning off older people. It's where you learn. It's your wisdom.
Of course.
That was how I got raised. So I'd love to just, give back in that space around mentoring and see where that goes. That's probably where my passion is about giving back now. And obviously I said I'm happy with my partner. She's Lila's from France and she's come back with me as well. So we're getting settled there and children and all that sort of stuff too.
My little Junior's running around. We can't wait. We'll have to get Nick to get contract ready like they did with the Andre Agassi's kids. Yeah, another Pierce for the system.
Mate, before we let you go, there's a game of State of Origin on Wednesday night. It'd be remiss of us not to get your view on the match and how to
see opinion.
It. Yeah. As a coach.
I'm happy for Teddy.
Yeah.
I think I didn't agree with him getting dropped in the first place. I can understand the decision with Dylan Edwards, obviously three-time premiership winner and it speaks for itself, but the champion is back.
Yes.
That's how, you know.
The proven champion's back, right?
He is, yeah.
And you've kind of lived that too, yeah? Is that right? Is there a bit of synergy there?
I wasn't a champion, he's been.
You got exonerated by your own performance. You said it before.
Yeah.
You rode the highs, you rode the lows. I just love the honesty where you went, I could have been better here.
Yeah.
Mate, so could have everyone. There's not one person that's going to listen to this that doesn't resonate with what you said. And I reckon Teddy's story's great. I just wish it was done differently too as a Roosters fan.
Can you see a bit of a Cinderella kind of scenario where they win Wednesday night and Teddy scores the try and then he kind of says, well, mate, like he goes out in his own terms.
Yeah.
Well, you said that.
Or he gets me into the match, you know, and says, well, thanks very much, New South Wales Rugby League, I'm out.
Well, a bloke that
won. Well, I'm more confident. You spoke about the result. I'm more confident Teddy's playing.
Yeah, right.
Since, like, I thought with the halves that we got, with Nathan out, with Yowie on the bench that they've decided, I reckon with Nico Hines there and I think he deserves his spot as well. He's been great. But I just think with Teddy, like in those big moments in Origin, all the skills goes out the window. And it's experience and know-how and wisdom. And like Teddy's got that. He's the captain, like, you know. So I think having him back gives me confidence. And I reckon Queensland will be a bit more worried having Teddy there.
Well, Cameron Smith said it the other day. He said, mate.
He might be playing mind games, but.
Yeah. That's very
true. What, prank calling you?
Yeah.
Ask you to play Origin for Queensland.
Well, give us a score prediction.
I reckon we'll win. We need to win, I think. If we don't win this one, it makes it tough, the series. But I'll say 8 points, Teddy man of the match.
There you go.
That's a nice little finish.
Yeah.
Well, mate, we want to thank you so much. Honestly, the candidness, the opportunity, you know, the friendship we developed. And just as Roosters fans, we're so glad you're back home, you know. So, you know, you never really left. It was like having, you know, as a parent, when your kid leaves home, you go, oh, you know, you miss him. We did. We missed you when you're in Newcastle. We're happy when you're in France. And, mate, thank you so much for spending time on Roosters Radio.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate the friendship.
Love it.
You, mate. Well done.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to Roosters Radio. And Silky, what more can be said? What a great rooster, what a great man Mitchell Pearce is. And the lived experience, the knowledge he can pass on, and some of the great stories, and the character that he is. I just love everything about him.
Couldn't agree more, Bush. Even got a bit teary there, Junior, talking about his old man. And look, as I said in the interview, I've had the pleasure of knowing Mitchell and his broader family for pretty much my entire life. He's a footballer first, but he's a great bloke off the field. And anyone who's had the pleasure of being in his company knows that. And it's great to see, you know, it sounds like he's got his life in order. He's moved back over to the East. He's got his lovely new partner. And mate, onwards and upwards for Junior. And look forward to seeing him in and around the Nick Politis High Performance Centre in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I think so. And so good to get his insights on Origin and what we need to do. And he was, you know, a huge endorsement for Roosters fans on the inclusion of James Tedesco in Origin. And what a great insight from someone that's got so much experience in the Origin arena.
Yeah, but Bush, I really loved going back in history, you know, talking about his debut at the Cowboys, you know, losing the grand final in 2010, what it meant to win one in 2013. Like, you know, even
the influences, the coaches, the players.
Yeah, there was a really, like for Roosters fans, I think there's a really great insight into the person that is Mitchell Pearce. And yeah, eternally grateful for him joining us today.
Now, Silky, moving on, if you were Pleat of Landis, you'd say State of Oranges. But at State of Origin this week, let's get a score prediction from you. I know you're a avid New South Welshman. You're not one of them blokes that lives down here and goes for Queensland because they had some success. What are your thoughts? And give me a score.
Bush, really hard to split this two. Look, I think obviously the heart and the head says New South Wales. I think it's going to be a backs against the wall kind of like one of those tight ones. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored, if I'm being honest. You know, I think, particularly listening to Mitchell there, the inclusion of Teddy's probably a bonus just for that leadership, you know, being able to talk from the back, guiding in the defence round. Looking forward to seeing how Joseph Suoliti goes there in the centres. Alternatively, I'm also looking, like, I love watching Reece Walsh play. So, and the Pat Carrigan's play. So, like, there's players. I just love the game. I love the contest that is Queensland versus New South Wales. If you ask me for a result, I'm going to go Blues 16, Maroons 12.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I'm a little tighter than that. I'm going to say 2 tries each. New South Wales will get up 13-12.
Wow. Man of the match?
Man of the match, James Tedesco. I'm going with what Junior said.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I wish him all the best. And, you know, as I said, maybe this is a great way for him to go out on his own terms with a man of the match performance, maybe a try, even two, Bush. And, you know.
Couldn't agree more.
Right off into the sunset, as it were. Well, that's it for a special episode of Roosters Radio. We want to thank our very special guest, the one and only Mitchell Junior Pearce. You've been listening to Roosters Radio.
East to win.
He's not how to play the game. They play it hard and fast.